2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. In Scripture, I will try to stay close to 2 Timothy 15 and chapter 3, but we'll begin in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we will read verse 15. I will do my best to honor the time that has been given to me, and we'll work at that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this: "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The subject of this sermon this evening is entitled "The Importance of Daily Bible Reading." C.H. Spurgeon said this: "We want an intelligent race of Christians, not a race of boasters, of culture, mental aristocrats who pretend to know a great deal and know nothing, but we need diligent students of the Word, adept in theology, like the Puritans of old. Every one of us ought to be students and learners, trying to gain more ability for usefulness, as well as being built up in our most holy faith. This is especially true for the younger members of our churches. Give yourself to reading, study, and prayer. Grow mentally and spiritually." Let me begin this evening by saying that the Bible is a holy book, and it was written by holy men of old. It's a spiritual book, and even though it can only be discerned by those who were given the Spirit of God, it's very clear and easy to understand. The Bible will give us the opportunity every day to receive from Scripture holy counsel. We will have the opportunity every day to receive spiritual counsel because it's a spiritual book. You know, people every now and then are searching for counselors. They come and say, "Preacher, I need a counselor. I need to be counseled." My first inclination is to tell them, "You don't need a counselor. You need a Bible." And they're cheaper anyways. I love the writings of Spirit-filled men like John Gill and Pink and the Puritans, and I've even read Zane Grey, but none of them affect my spirit and soul like the Bible does. And if you pick up the Bible, the same Holy Spirit that God breathed on its writers will breathe on you. The inspired Word of God, the Spirit-filled Word of God, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, because it is the book of truth. It's called the Word of Truth. Not psychology. It's true spiritual truth and counsel. We learned this week that it is a flawless book. It's inerrant in nature, spirit, and doctrine. Every morning you have the opportunity to open a book that will give you flawless, inerrant, perfect counsel of God. Truthful. The Bible you hold in your hand is different from any and every other book you have ever held and ever will hold in your hands. It's different from any and every piece of religious or Christian literature ever written. Nothing compares to Scripture. I believe it's the greatest and most unique book man has ever held and has ever read and will ever read, because it was given to us by Almighty Sovereign God. John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know how many of you read it, but I'm sure many of you have. And The Pilgrim's Progress became one of the world's most read books next to the Bible at one time. But neither he, John Bunyan, nor anyone ever claimed that it was inspired of God. And so every day, you can arise in the morning and you can open a book that has been proven over and over and over again to be the inspired Word of God. It is as if God is speaking to you. No mediator except the Holy Spirit. I believe it's the most precious earthly gift God has given His church, that aside from Christ, that is. So every day you can open your Bible and you can have adequate and precise counsel. It's a precious, heavenly, divine counsel, unmatched counsel. The Bible contains a precise description of all we need to know of God, of Christ, of ourselves, of sin, salvation, and of coming judgment. What you will open to is exact and perfect. When we arise in the morning, we will always arise to the world that Scripture says lieth in wickedness. Every day of your living will be met in a world filled with wickedness. It lieth in wickedness. Galatians 1:4 describes it as this present evil world. That is what we will face every day. We will face unregenerate men. We will face all the temptations of the of life. We will encounter every temptation of the lusts of the flesh, and they will follow us every step of the way, and they will be like to us like a vile dead corpse strapped to our very own backs. That's what we face. Job said this in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. What do we possess that could ever prepare our hearts and minds for these things? What could ever be powerful enough and efficient enough and sufficient enough to console and reassure and refresh our soul in the midst of so much evil, of so much sorrow, and of so much failure? What could that ever be? What could ever do that? Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. If you read the verse with me, you notice that the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and I just want to use the first and the last verse of the Scripture. He said, study truth. That's the first and the last verse, word of the verse we read. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're supposed to study the word of truth. And we are supposed to study to be able to rightly divide it, to rightly apply it, to rightly understand it. Romans, let's go back to Romans 15:4. Please look at that. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's why we study. You study to learn. And you learn because you study. They were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. There are three things, if you were to read that again, there are three things that the learning and the study of the things that were written will produce in us: patience, comfort, and hope. You can open your Bible every day and you will find divine counsel in the areas of patience, comfort, and hope. Turn a few pages over in your Bible to 2 Timothy 3:16, and we've about wore this verse out this conference. What a wonderful foundation for the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: all Scripture. And by the way, that's the same thing that chapter 2 says we're supposed to study, the Word of Truth. That's Scripture. All this Scripture, all this Word of Truth is given by inspiration of God and is, what? Profitable. Now, I'll stop right there for a moment. Profitable. Well, let me read it all so that it flows. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. By divine inspiration, Paul wrote, and he tells us to study, and to study God's Word because it's profitable. There's not a one of us here that doesn't enjoy a little profit. Too many of today's preachers think that means financially. We've got a few of them down in Texas. You know, everything's big in Texas. And we got some doozies, some big ones. Something profitable is something beneficial. And I'm just using the definition. It's beneficial. It's useful. It's advantageous. It's valuable. And it's productive. That's what kind of daily counsel we receive when we open the Scriptures. It's profitable. It's advantageous to us. Paul told young Timothy that the Word of God would profit him by providing him with true doctrine. That is in our Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Every day you open this Bible, you will be provided with a feast of true teaching, of true doctrine from the Word of God. That means that all of the essential theological truths needed to define and to guide the church and us as believers is in His Word. They're all there. They're all very clear, Brother Bill. Very clear. You know, the winds of false doctrine have always blown around the world. It seems like in a cycle even. False doctrine blew into Brazil here about 20 years ago of the golden teeth. Did it come over this way? If you were a true spirit-filled believer, there a gold teeth would appear in your mouth. A lot of dentists got rich. false doctrines. There's always been winds of false doctrines, and they've always blown, but it seems as if today there's a tempest outside of false doctrines. Our world is reminding me what the Apostle John wrote in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. It seems like we have been inundated. We have been covered by a tidal wave, by a tempest of false doctrines. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, he said this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I have heard more than one person tell me, I will never be deceived by these sorts of doctrines. But they found out that the dangers and the subtlety of the unholy doctrines and unbiblical practices is always served up on a platter of false spirituality. And that old serpent called the devil, who the Apostle Peter calls a lion, and that Jesus called a liar and the father of it, will seek to ravage and rip the truth from our souls. Someone may say, well, I go to church every Sunday and the preacher preaches strong doctrine every Sunday. And I probably think that that's probably enough. I'd like to tell them, well, I hope you have longer services than we do at Oak Trail Baptist Church down here in Texas. That's because that's only about 3 hours a week. Let me ask you a question. Is 3 hours a week really enough? Will 3 hours of reading God's Word and studying God's Word, will it give you a passing grade? Is it really enough? Spiritual purity and growth depend on sound doctrine, and we must feed ourselves with the word of truth every day, every day. Then you'll notice that the word of God is good for reproof, and I believe that one of the preachers explained that this is not a reproving, it's reproof, it's a test. The word of God is profitable to test all things that come about in the biblical sense. Every thought, every attitude, every emotion, every intent, every doctrine, every word should be tested and proved by the Word of God, because the Word of God is profitable for that. Every day you can sit in your quiet place and you can open scriptures and you can test everything by the Word of God. It can be proved. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick. And by the way, that's the same word that is used in Ephesians, quickened. He hath quickened us. It says, for the Word of God is quick. That means living, alive. The Word of God is alive. It's quick. And it's powerful. The word there is effectual, an effectual power. It's not just powerful, unpointed or not pointed somewhere. It's an effectual power that comes from the living Word of God. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you notice there the three things, or four things? It's quick. It's alive. When you open your Bible every day, you are looking at the living Word that provides life, spiritual life. It's powerful, it's sharper, it's piercing, and it's discerning. When you open your Bible in the morning, you will have in front of you the test of every doctrine, of every practice, of every action. And what you have in your hand is able to either refute that or stamp approval on it. The Word will daily test those things that we, or those little phrases we say, I think. Whatever you're thinking can be put to the test by Scripture. I believe. Well, whatever you believe has to be tested. It's profitable. The Word of God is profitable to test whatever you believe. I feel. Well, what do you feel? You better put that to a test by the Word of God. See, it's profitable for reproof. I'm going to do this and that. Well, you better read James chapter 4. James chapter 4 says, listen, and I'll paraphrase. This is the Living Bible. He said, listen, before you say, I'm going to go to this city and do this and that, you better say, if the Lord will. Everything comes to a test, comes to be tested by the Word of God. You'll notice in the scripture we read that it's profitable, the Word of God is profitable for the correction, for correction. Every day when you open your Bible, you will have a chance to see what you did wrong and correct it. Let me give you a few examples that are always important to me. The Bible will remind us how to think every day. The Bible has I call it the daily counsel of thought processing. It will tell us how to think. Listen to what Philippians 4:8 says. And if you want to turn there, it's a long verse. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That is good counsel. That is good daily counsel. Forget Hillary Clinton. Boy, I never heard. That is the most popular name in America. I bet you that next year, half of the girls born in America are going to be named Hillary Clinton. But you notice what the Word of God tells us to think on. Every day, we can find in God's Word what ought to occupy our minds. God's Word will remind us every day and can remind us every day how important our speech is. Oh my. I mutter things. I don't know, I'm sure you don't. But every now and then I'll mutter something in under my breath. Colossians 4:6 says, the Bible gives this counsel, and this is a good daily counsel. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. I guess I could call that God's daily speech management counsel. And that's not the only place, by the way. The Bible reminds us of our speech in Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. By the way, that's a proactive verse. It tells you what's going to happen, but it gives you a solution. We need to be reminded every day of God's perspective on daily speech. The Word of God will teach us what to do and what not to do. The Word of God, as I just mentioned, is proactive in its correction. It identifies the problem and points to a solution. How many times, just about every time, when the Bible brings up a problem, it doesn't just leave us with a problem, it gives a solution for it. God's Word will warn us before we get in trouble. Boy, how important is that every day? I can get myself into more trouble. I don't think Brother Bill Lee could get me out, and he's a big man. God's Word will warn us. I call that God's crisis management. God's Word can take care of any crisis. But you know, before we ever get to the crisis, He's already warned us about it. Very important to read your Bible daily, because He points to the solution. He points to what we cannot do, but if we do, there is a payment coming. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4 said, "Behold," this is one of the proactive verses, and listen carefully, "Behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Well, He tells us, if you sin, you're going to die. That's it. So what's the solution? Don't sin. And this is not speaking to believers. I'm just using this as an example. This is what God tells the world. God's merciful compassion. He looks at the world and He warns them. He is proactive. He said, listen, if you sin, you're going to die. So what is the solution? He tells us in another place, the wages of sin is death. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, if you know you're going to sow what you reap, you better be sowing what you want to reap. Every day, when we arise, we can take a book that is proactive, that will teach us so that we can flee from the consequences. God warns His people individually, but He warns His people collectively. He warns us individually, but He warns us also as a church, as a body of believers. Revelation chapter 2, please turn there. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, and again, this is a beautiful watch. Thank you, dear. I borrowed it, and I've got 4 minutes. I think I can finish. Revelation 2:1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. God's counsel to individuals is proactive. God's counsel to the church body, to his body, is also proactive. He gives us a warning, and then he tells us what will happen if we don't heed the warning. Every day you can pick up a book, divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible, spiritual book, and it will tell you what to expect down the road by what you're doing today. Amazing. Amazing book. The word of truth, our scripture says, is profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's instruction that will take us to a condition acceptable to God. Webster's Dictionary. The word of God is profitable for instruction that leads us into a state of righteousness, or the way we should be as believers. Let me add just a few things to that. It's instruction in integrity. Every day we can open our Bible and be counseled in integrity. Every day we can open our Bibles and be counseled by it in virtue, in purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. It's called the Daily Council on Holiness and Righteousness every day. Nothing is stopping us. We have a Bible, I think we all do, or two, or three, or four. The objective of daily reading and study of God's Word is to teach us how to fulfill the very purpose of our salvation, the glory of God through foreordained good works, works of grace. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, we don't dwell on good works, and good works come in all shapes, sizes, and ways. But when we open the Bible, we can open it every day, and we can find out what will glorify God, what will glorify God's grace. Let me close with some benefits to daily reading I picked up along the way in my readings and notes and so on. Daily reading will clarify God's promises. It will teach us to reverence God's commandments. Daily reading will help us trust in God's sufficiency, have joy in God's perfections, submit to God's providence, and praise God for His goodness. Daily reading will make us more conscious of inward corruption, more convicted and sorrowful of sin, and more apt to confess it, forsake it, and cleanse ourselves from it, fortify ourselves against it, and practice the opposite of it. Daily reading will reveal our need of Christ and make Him more real and precious to us, and bring us into submission to Him. Daily reading will discover what God demands of us, how much we have failed to meet those demands, how much God has gracefully provided for us to meet those demands. Daily reading will reveal the true character of the world, how it can be overcome, and how we can be weaned of it, separated from it, and elevated above it, and finally, delivered from it. Please open to Philippians 1:9, and preacher, you can come on. Philippians 1:9, verse 9, 10, and 11. Listen to what the scripture says. And by the way, this is my personal prayer for Oak Trail Baptist Church, if you want to know. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. What knowledge? The word of truth. Knowledge of the word of truth. And in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. Thank you, preacher.